Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached American Health Crisis. This is Paulette Young, your host, along with Selena Lindsay, also the host of this particular program. We're going to be talking about COVID-19 and medication, some of the things that they've either tried or going to try or is in trial. And Selena's going to be starting us off. We're going to be talking about if a medication has side effects to cause one to commit suicide, why is it given? COVID-19 has caused some people to become extremely depressed. Why? How long will this pandemic last? How can one get through day-to-day activity? Join us tonight, your host Paulette Young with Selena Lindsay. If you want to call in for us to hear you, you must dial 858-769-4936 and then press 1. Again, 857-769-4936 and press 1. Hi, Selena. How are you?
Fabulous, and how are you?
Good, good. Okay. What have you found so far? Let's get started. Go ahead.
Well, let's just throw the big baseball out there. The one that our great president talks about, which is hydroxychloroquine. That's the big one. It's supposed to be the one that's going to do it. And basically, as far as CDC is concerned, they're still saying basically antibiotics don't work. There is a lot of information if you want to play with YouTube, a number of different individuals that have the hurrah story about how this stuff works. And it is also listed with CDC as what they call a emergency drug, which is to be used more or less to say if there's nothing else that they can do, well, then they can go ahead and use this particular antibiotic. But it's really, they already know that on this particular virus, it really just does not do a lot in CDC's opinion. And as I restated earlier, there is quite a bit of information with a number of different individuals on how it works. There are numerous people that basically recover on their own, very much like a cold. But one of the things that we do know is COVID-19 makes an attack. It is a basically a virus that attacks your respiratory system, and once that kind of it becomes encumbered in its fight against the virus, of course, your lungs begin to fill with fluid, and you can't get air in. You can't breathe. And when that starts to happen, cells start to die. And so a lot of people, where it gets complicated, they have numerous different medical conditions that follow. Their heart, their kidneys begin to not work, and they immediately go into respiratory failure, circulation failure, kidney failure, and all of these combined things makes COVID-19 one of the ugliest viruses that we have dealt with in this century. And there's just too many things for doctors to do other than pray. And basically, the overall thing is that they have in clinical trials a number of different things that they're working on. One of the old ones that is also there is called remdesivir, which is also an antiviral, what they call EVA, an emergency drug. And formerly it was used in oncology, which means it was used in cancer, in treating cancer. As you can well imagine, viruses don't really work like cancer, although cancer is it breaks down into it gets into the cells. But this particular virus, COVID-19, it works mostly starting with your respiratory system. And so it's very, very different. what they do say is that when they give out this particular drug, they have noted that they have a decreased chance, and I do mean chance, that you will die. So it's another one of those drugs that they try to use. There is another big one that they like to mess around with, and that's called dexamethasone. And this is another one that is used primarily in oncology. And whenever you say the word oncology, I don't like this, because now we're really messing with something. These things were formerly developed to deal with cancer. And so to me, that's, you know, I'm pretty ignorant. And if you're, that's like saying you're going to take something that's designed to be used on your head and use it on your foot. That's a little bit backwards. But they still make the same claim as that when they use it, this is an emergency type thing that they use it for, and they have claims of a decreased chance that you're going to die when you use this particular drug. All of them have a heck of a lot of contraindications as to what they do. Some of them actually cause some of the problems that we're seeing with COVID-19, such as strokes, heart attack. Some of them actually lead to your kidneys shutting down. This is a horrible, horrible pandemic in which it leaves you questioning everything. Many of you out there are even questioning wearing a mask. And if you're asking what my position is, anything and everything that you can do to ensure or to have some type of help that you don't get COVID-19, you need to do it. It may not make any sense, but if you know that this thing is airborne, then you need to take a you need to take a step back and do something to keep this thing from getting into your nose. I've talked to a lot of different people. Some people they have it out there that, you know, you keep your throat wet because if you're drying out, there's a probability that, you know, you allow viruses to lodge. And we all know that lots of bacteria, they love dark and horrible places. And so some of the same stuff that healthy people do all the time, which is drink your water, get plenty of rest, and basically do what they tell you to do. Stay to yourself. Stay away from people that you know are sick. Only go to the hospital if it's vitally necessary that you go. The various different drugs that they have out there, basically, I don't care what they put on television, it's unheard of. In the first place, some of the biggest news is that they're very close to coming up with a drug as a an anti coming up with a drug that can be utilized to combat this thing. And vaccines are just unheard of to be made within the last 3 to 4 months. Most vaccines, before they come to the market, you know, it takes 10 years. And they're looking at some things that they want to use, which there's a lot of controversy out there. If they use this particular vaccine, you have the people out there that are saying this is pure experimental. Technically, they're already experimenting. Supposedly, they've already given over 300 people this drug. And some of the other things that they've been doing is they like to talk about antibodies. Well, antibodies mean that basically what they're technically doing, any kind of way you want to shake this bottle, is they take something from somebody that's already had it and then give you a minute dose of it. And prayerfully, what has happened with the person that originally had it and recovered, their body builds up an antibody. But what they don't know is whether or not these antibodies really work and how long do they work. The controversy is some say 6 months and some say you can go right back and succumb to the same thing. But what they try to do is to technically inject another person with antibodies to help give them some resistance against being able to have COVID-19. Because there's no time, no studies, as far as I'm concerned, we just have information. It's been too short of a time for them to really know. Other countries, in fact, Russia is tallying and blowing its whistle, saying that they actually have a vaccine. And one of the things with that is called money. A company here in the United States was recently given $760 million. For wow. $760 million, I would say it would be a number of us that would do a number of things. They're saying that they're very, very close, and they hope that within the next couple of months they'll actually be able to have a vaccine that will work. One of the doctors feels that he was posed with a number of different questions as to, one, how long does it work? Of course he doesn't know. They just created it. What are some of the side effects? He was saying some of the normal things that you get with COVID-19, headaches, diarrhea, all these kinds of things. I don't call these things normal, but he feels that, you know, but he felt that since they did not come down with the virus itself, that is basically working, but he refused to even live up to it. It wouldn't come out of his mouth. You know, he kept skating around that particular issue. I still blow the whistle and say it's just not adequate enough time. And when you mess with any of these so-called drugs that they have, as far as I'm concerned, it'll have to be an emergency because too many of them have too many side effects of other things. And nobody wants to die. And some of this because you always have what I call the boogeyman theories out there. And one of them is that technically they already have the cure. And a lot of that centers around the drug called hydroxychloroquine. There are a number of doctors that are from Africa and a few from other places that have been utilizing this particular one to combat some of the stuff that happens in the jungles in Africa, malaria, typhoid fever, and other kinds of things. And in fact, one doctor, she literally throws her hand on the Bible and says she has never lost a patient that she used this stuff on, only one person. They swear by it. And of course, we have, I like to use the conversation that often is stated on The View by Whoopi Goldberg. She doesn't call this person by name. She says, you know who. And so you know who suggested we could have a swallow of bleach. Please don't do that. Bleach won't do anything. But what we do know on the outside, you can clean your utensils, clean your sink, clean your toilet, bleach for a very, very long time. It has right on the bottle that it does kill COVID-19. But that's for surfaces. You don't fool with chlorine in your system. That would be suicidal. That's not too smart. But any of these drugs, as far as I'm concerned, they're not, they each and every last one of them are developed for other kinds of things, especially remdesivir, which is an antiviral that was mostly, you know, developed for oncology. I can't even imagine why somebody would take this thing. Like I said, it's like medication that's supposed to be for your head, and you decide you're going to use it on your foot. But this is a common thing that happens in the United States. One of the drugs that it brings to mind is like prednisone. Prednisone is one of the cocktails that doctors use it for everything. You know, if your child is acting crazy, then here's some prednisone. You know, if you have rheumatoid arthritis, then here's some prednisone. You know, it's one of those particular ones that's a favorite with them. You know, if they're use it for anything type drug, and they're going to the supermarket to do the same thing with these things that are supposed to be used for different purposes, to use them on COVID-19 or to use the psychology that goes with it. Back to the boogeyman theory, some of the boogeyman theories are especially, say, with some of the black people. They feel that these newly developed serums or so-called vaccines is something which is developed by the boogeyman that will mess your system all up, and it's designed to kill off black and brown people. And so they theorize that they're not going to take it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Any of the vaccines that they go ahead.
That when you were talking about the steroids, and we do know that when we have various respiratory diseases, a lot of those like asthma and people with breathing problems, if they're not allergic to steroids, then they do treat it. What they have done, at least as of July the 30th, they've added the different types of steroids, like instead of just making it one kind, like the corticosteroids, they added hydrocortisone, methyl, prednisone, and some of the other prednisone things. Another one was dexamethasone, which is not always available. But I think the biggest thing is you're trying to get that patient to keep breathing. It's why some of these things are being used. And it's true, we are pulling straws. We really don't. I like what you had to say. We don't know what we're doing yet. We don't know what works. There was an article where the French government and one of the universities in Minnesota have joined forces in doing their studies on the hydroxychloroquine. They don't have the results yet. They're still working on it. This stuff is, as you said, Selena, it's pretty new. Pandemic wasn't labeled till March. So we got April, May, June, July, 4 months, now we're into August, going into the 5th month. It's the timing is not there. Yes, we're losing people, but at the same time, we're going to try anything. We really don't know what the outcome's going to be yet. We really don't know. What amount is safe amount? We already know they did one study with a group of veterans. I think it's like 368 of them, and there was a high mortality using that drug. So, but would it happen if you used it or didn't use it? See, those are the questions that have to be asked. Why did they die? Because of the drug, or if you used no drugs, they would have still died, or there still would have been a high mortality. See, so until they get all these studies in, we really don't know How much do you get?
No.
You know, do you double the amount? There was one study even, you mentioned the antibodies, that they were using various antibodies with, say, the hydrocortisone, hydroxychloroquine. Some worked, some didn't work. There's not enough data, not enough studies, and the time factor is huge because you're just beginning these studies. So like the one that you said, they spent how much, how many million dollars?
$760 million.
Yeah, but time frame, when did they start that?
Well, probably a few months ago. And here they come talking about they got something ready to go.
Yeah, but a few months ain't nothing. I mean, it's just not enough time. Or, you know, and then you have the money, but how many people? You know, where are the people coming that's going to volunteer? You can't get that many volunteers just that quickly. So there's still, and I think that's why all of us are, you know, apprehensive. In China, they had 62 people, and that drug, that hydroxychloroquine, showed promises. 62 is not a good number. Not a good number. You can say 62 and say, hey, they made it through. This is a good number. You have to have numbers when it comes to doing research. Not enough numbers, then you don't have enough data. They already said you've had, and some of the deaths that they've had from heart attacks and strokes, they don't know if it was the drugs or something else. So we really can't label the drug at this point because there's not enough studies to say, because you have to have a controlled trial and all that, and until that, and it takes time. We're only into the fifth month, and we're expecting miracles. I mean, we do, everybody, there's a big push to do something rather than nothing, and then to use, as you said, some of the things that they're using, but they have used these things for various lung ailments, that one that you mentioned, the remdesivir, however you pronounce it, R-E-M-D-E-S-I-V-I-R, I believe. It depended on whether they were on oxygen. There were so many variables even with that one. And still, even the data you have currently, it's not enough time has gone by, not enough people, and knowing when to use it, when not to use it, then do we have enough to, you know, have they made enough of that, say, that particular medicine where you can really test it on people? And it has been used. It looks like they're reaching for things that in the past they have used for various respiratory ailments. But is it going to work in the case of the COVID-19? We don't know. We don't know. And when is it going to work? Is it going to work when you use oxygen? How much oxygen? There's so little data because we haven't had time. There's just not enough time to say, hey, this is it. It's going to work. So everybody's watching Trump. So far, he seems fine. And he is taking that hydroxychloroquine, the thing that's not known how much, how many days. There seems so many things that's not known. So we don't know if it works. We do know that some people have died, but they really can't have documented why they died. They really can't pinpoint it on that drug because, you know, there's other factors involved. So I don't know. And then coming up with a vaccine in the history of the globe here, They've never come up with a vaccine so quickly. But everything is trying to go quick. They're trying to do quick clinical trials. All that, and anyone that's ever done research, I know I have, it takes time. You can't come up with results that quickly. And then, I don't know if you read the article that Bill Gates put out. Did you read that one?
Yes.
Huh? What?
Yeah.
You read that one too?
Yeah, I try to keep up with WHO. You know, a lot of people don't know that Bill Gates is the head of WHO. Every time you hear the controversy about the president having issues with the World Health Organization, it's just kind of,
he doesn't head it up. He's part of it, but like
he's part. Yes, but he's a big part of it. And Mr. Trump wanted to make sure he defunded it.
Yeah, but the main thing is we do need the clinical trials. I think the smart thing that they've all of them are, everyone's in agreement with, is the importance of, you know, sanitizing things, wearing a mask, social distance, and not to let our guard down. When the numbers go down, hey, don't let our, if the numbers go down, it's not because you're not wearing a mask, it's because you are wearing a mask, you are sanitizing. So let's not, because it's been so long, you know, with this lockup and stuff, people want to let their guards down. And unfortunately, when you start doing that, because we don't have a cure, we don't know everything, then you end up with a problem of the numbers going up. Some people think the numbers are high because they're doing more testing. They've been doing more testing for quite a while now. So the numbers are high because people are letting their guard down. And we've all seen on YouTube, regular news, where the social gatherings, especially families, y'all ain't wearing those masks. And then you wonder what happened.
Well, also, too, remember, you know who told everybody that, you know, it just wasn't going to happen and not to worry about it. And then a few weeks later, this thing hit. And so one of the things people have to get out of is the refrigerators are filling up. Don't be one of the ones.
But when you say you know who, that's not being done anymore. I think everybody's on one accord, the importance of the mask. I think everybody's on one accord now. We weren't on one accord in the beginning, but we are now. Because it's taken the lives of too many loved ones. Businesses can't operate as usual. So you have to begin to do something right. And it looks like, at least my eyes and a lot of people's eyes, at least we're beginning to come together as, hey, we have to do this together. And you know, the social distancing and everything. I'm not sure about schools opening up when the colleges aren't opening up. That part I don't understand. If an elementary, junior high, and high school is going to open up, why aren't the colleges opening up? Something, I don't know, something's not right with the whole picture. Why, you know, so if I'm in college, I can stay and do online. If I'm in elementary school, I can just go to school. And some of the parents are questioning that. You know, by the time they open up, are we going to have better medication? I mean, and we already know the answer to that. The trials, everything is a trial. And can you do these trials that quickly? The answer is, you already know, no.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take time. And time is all we have right now, if we like it or not. We don't have a choice. The choices we can make is social distancing and wearing those masks. Do something right rather than wanting to do things wrong. will hydroxychloroquine work? You ain't did enough trials to even say yay, nay. Ain't enough people. You don't even have enough data. You have some numbers, but even with those numbers, it's not accurate as what really took place. So all we can do is, right now, the best thing is to keep, you know, isolating, as bad as that may seem. So say you have to isolate for the next 6 months, Selena. What are some of the things you would do?
Well, some of the things. Some of the main things is to make sure you got enough masks, that you only leave the house when you absolutely have to. Buy enough of the various different foods so that in case it gets worse before it gets better, that you have some staples at your house. You don't have to go out and do hoarding, because as you can see, those that ran out and bought all that toilet paper, they got a problem now. And some people won't never get to use it because they're no longer with it. But some of the things you need to do is to stay away from crowds. Always wear your mask whenever you're outside of your car or you're outside, period. Be sure to use your sanitizer. I don't care what they say. What I do is I wear a glove, and I only touch what's outside with the glove. I don't even care if it's the vegetables or stuff on the shelf, only with the glove. And then I sanitize it before it comes in my house with something that says it kills at least 99.9% of the viruses on it. I spray it and then wash it. And then it can go into my sanitized refrigerator. It cannot just come into my space, because this thing is serious. And from what they say, it doesn't live on paper and things like that for long, but it can exist on it. And so anything which comes into my house, if the mailman brings a package, then it can stay outside a while. You know, it doesn't come into my house, and we spray it.
2 and 3 days. Back to the medicine, I had mentioned in the beginning, if a medication has side effects that can cause or commit a person to commit suicide, should it be given? Because some of your COVID-19 patients are giving medicines that has severe side effects. It's supposed to be dealing with one thing. It could be muscle spasm or dealing with they're bipolar. And yet when you read the ingredients, a side effect is depression and suicide. Do you think a medicine like that should even be given? Why are they given? And I know just making a few phone calls to minorities like myself, the one particular medicine, it's like common to give the person. I talked to someone else about one of the medications, and I said, she said, "Oh, Paulette, that's addicting." I said, "How can somebody be addicted to something that causes these things?" So I guess it works different for a person, and I'm telling people that are out there, pay attention to your medicine. Look up the side effects of that medication. And if it's matching what you're feeling, then you need to stop taking it before something happens. Don't just take something and think it's okay. Look up the side effects, because we're all locked in now. We do have to start being creative, because the lockdown's going to be for a while. So it's not like you can ignore that you are locked down, but let's be creative. I know one of the creative things that I'm developing or will be doing shortly, within a couple of weeks, with my grandkids. They're in Cedar Hill, Texas. I'm here. So we'll call it the Javon and Jayla and Grandma's math club. Because math is something you have to master no matter where, what you're doing. So that is not a problem. It becomes a strength. I'm developing this club of ours. And, of course, you know, there will be rewards and stuff like that and make it fun instead of laboring. Just make it fun. And so because of COVID-19 is why I came up with that, and we'll be either doing Zoom or FaceTime and having some fun with it. Because we don't know when this stuff is going to stop. The kids need something. And I think this is a time grandparents, parents, aunts and uncles need to get involved with nieces and nephews. You have strength. Maybe your strength is art. Maybe your strength is music. Even though you can't be there in person with the child, you still can do things over the internet because we have everything today. Thank God that God had all these inventors invent these things. And let's make some fun out of it rather than seeing it as how long and you know, continue to cry, because we are going to have to do something different. Before the school year had stopped, I had started doing arts and crafts with my grandkids, the two that are 12. And it was a lot of fun. I learned something. We weren't in person, but we could see each other and do the craft together. So I think if we had more of that, a thing I'm not understanding, and maybe you can help me understand, instead of the kids going back, how come you don't do Zoom with the kids? Like have a class with 20? How come they can't do that? I don't understand it.
Well, it's just like I would say that the answers lie in things that from many, many years ago, because you were also a part of various different emergency preparedness teams, and we were all out there banging and warning systems and entities that they were not prepared for anything pandemic. And they were tooting their whistle that they were ready. And so this is a fine example that is actually happening right in front of us. And all of this stuff for kids is more of the you're not ready. And they have no idea. And even our economics, we're starting to see that it's just kind of silly. I mean, did you really think the stock market is going to be favorable and nobody's working? You know, these people don't go to Brighten Up School. You know, do you really think when people don't have any money that that all of these huge companies that are out of business that they never dreamed of that are in transportation, like Hertz Rental, Enterprise, you know, these companies are folding because it does not have the people, everything, in the way that we knew it is changing. These were the warnings that we were putting out there 10 years ago that they were not ready, that they didn't have enough gowns, they don't have enough masks, all these kinds of things. This month alone, they are predicting over 110 will not live. And they are already, most of the hospitals, at capacity. And so the same thing with children. They just did not see in the first place. You and I have been out there with the hammer, beating these people, telling the poor kids in the city like Pomona that the average family only makes $22,000 a year. They don't have Wi-Fi at home. They don't have a computer. You know, and so they wake up a little bit too late. The same thing that, because you and I also work at the food bank, we've been talking about people that are in food distress for years. And now they're just coming to an understanding, oh, the poor children, they only eat in school. Well, hello, what does it take? A mountain to fall down on top of you, which is COVID-19, for you guys to wake up, you know. And some of what they're doing with these kids, I agree with.
Every community, we have all these churches, and the churches need to be a little bit more involved than what they are. And I mean on a personal one-to-one basis, not just here's the food, come get it type attitude. Neighbors need to know neighbors. Know some of the things that are going on so that you can lessen the load for someone. Tell me something. How do you get through day-to-day activity right now?
Well, basically, I don't really have a lot of problems because a lot of technically what I do is with my head in a corner and a laptop anyway. Some things have not slowed down. In fact, it's picked up, mainly because of some of the things that the government are doing. You know, they came up with the PPP loan for companies, and, you know, they didn't need it before, but some of these things are, it's not as simple as the government offered it. It's like, oh, just get on the phone and call them up, and the bank will give you the money. It's not going to happen. You know, you need to be able to show the bank that you made X, and that determines how much money they will lend you. So a lot of business on my end has, you know, picked up. And then on the other side is a lot of business that have decided they, you know, they're like the gambler. They're like, you got to know when to fold them, and they're folding up. And which means some of them, they didn't just fold up. They sold their company. They sold it. And in selling it, you know, they have to go to an accountant to get and assess value of, you know, how much did they make previous to COVID-19 and, you know, what is the company value? But so for me, a lot of things have not really changed. It's picked up. What did change, in fact, I like it, is because of COVID-19, I don't have to meet with them at the office, you know, and a lot of people are getting more what I call computer savvy. So basically documents and paper, you know, it goes to them through email. But some of the stuff that even made me a little bit more savvy was in doing conversions from certain kinds of documents into a PDF. You know, in fact, I had trouble today because the PDF was coming out in Korean. And I'm trying to figure out what in the heck is wrong with this laptop. But at any rate, it is.
How long is this pandemic going to last?
I don't think anybody knows.
We're not even in the first wave. So how long?
I would say we're not going to see any relief probably until the middle of next year.
Okay. Somebody.
Because by then they're going to have something in a needle that they're going to start sticking in everybody. And by then, they're going to have to do something. Well, that and by then, they're going to do some of the things that they should have did in the first place. You see, people are kind of like children. When you tell them to wear a mask, you're always going to have enough that are rebellious that everybody else stays sick. They're fighting in stores. Because somebody told them they can't come in with a mask. You know, they're causing riots, literally. At the same time, we have a lot of what I call worldly disruption ever since George Floyd was killed. You know, they're marching around together. All of these kinds of things help spread it, you know. And so what should have been declared, which nobody wants to see the military on the street, but technically, it slowed down when they declared martial law in Los Angeles and said, be in your house at 9 o'clock. And so some things, until they hit the switch and start all over again, because every time they throw in a little bit of breaks, then it slows down a little bit, and then you just count 14 days, another big explosion. And the next big explosion is scheduled to happen again. You know, somewhere between the 14th and the 18th, it'll happen again.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, a lot of people, they take down the shield and they start acting like everything is usual. You know, they go to the drive-in, they stay in their own cars, Well, then they start congregating. You know,
until
they go to the swimming pool.
Yeah, until somebody gets the disease, then they, and then reality hits, unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just don't deal with it. And these things are setting us way behind. And some of the things that we talked about earlier, you know, that you and I fought for is the government, the state, the county to finally take notes and recognize that poor people are a little bit different. And now all of a sudden that there's a new element added to the poor people when you have the middle class that don't have no money, don't have no job, and some jobs ain't never coming back. Some of everybody's in food bank line. This is the situation that we're dealing with in today's time, you know, and as we know from the food bank, we go from 40,000 to 60,000, you know, and everybody is starting to see extraordinary numbers, and it's about to get worse. And as our government talk about, you know, unemployment is going to be extended. And they're talking about making that check $200. What do you do with $200?
Well,
you know, this is craziness.
That's called amazing. I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. We got to do better.
Yeah, we have to do better. And the thing with what they're doing for the nursing and doctors and all of the medical field has had short hands for a long, long time. They're so short now, the military is in half of the hospitals trying to help them, you know, because they just don't have adequate enough personnel to deal with what they're dealing with. And the other thing that I point fingers at is the fact that there is a difference. If you come in there with medical insurance, there's a difference. If you don't have it, then you need to go to one of them buildings where they have a cot. And you know, they have two nurses assigned to 20 people. You know, that's the craziness. And that's where we're going. You know, we are in emergency mode whether we like it or not. And along with that, you know, we have to view the rest of what's going on in the world. Between the fire, the hurricane, the rain, the earthquakes, you know, we're in a heck of a climate.
Yeah.
And all these things combined are pushing people. Suicide is up 130%. Murders is up 40%. Homicide, you know, this depressionary thing that people are going through. And that's another thing I like to make a big statement about. Anybody that's within the sound of my voice and listening to this, please get help. There are people that want to help you. You know, there are many people that
get the
they're going through them.
Get the
I don't have one.
National Institutes of Health. They have an 800 number and a hotline. You can Google that.
They need to dial 911 or something. Because they need to get help. You know, it disheartens me so much when you hear about a man taking his wife and his children simply because he's so depressed and doesn't know what to do. You know, that is not the way out, and you hurt so many people. So please, please seek help. There's a better way than that. That is not the way out. And there's just
anyone,
so much.
Anyone just joining the station? We've been talking about COVID-19 and medications and ways to what you must do. As Selena said, call, get help. Suicide is up. Unemployment is definitely up. Are we in a depression? Are they going to say that? They took a while to even say that we're at pandemic, when at the end of December we were already at pandemic. They wait till the middle of March. So I look for the, say that we're in a depression, take 2 or 3 months before anybody says anything. But we do know that these are hard times, and giving people skills how to deal with day-to-day is very important. If anybody that's on the line want to speak, all you have to do is press 1, and then you're on the air, and all of us can hear you around the globe. This is a very important topic. Hope those that are online have benefit from it. Selena had quite a bit to say, which has been a total blessing. She is a host on the show, and we appreciate her. She comes with a lot of knowledge. She's even told you, I don't know if you have, well, you said everybody can't even get the money that's probably theirs because they got to verify how much money you made last year. You can't verify nothing. How are you going to get the money? And see, people don't realize
that's
that.
It.
So hopefully you've got some canceled checks or at least have a checking account, a business account that shows income, or if you've been down for the last year, it'll show that too, because this thing's been around for a good while now, and hopefully we'll get some, you know, answers in the near future. Is the food bank still at the fairgrounds or no?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. So they opened up last week or no? Is it this week
they're open. Yes.
Huh?
Yes, this week, and they're still basically working the same schedule.
The first and third Wednesday of the month.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. So this would be the first Wednesday, right?
First Wednesday. Correct.
Yeah. So, and that's at the L.A. County Fairgrounds. Sowing Seeds for Life, which is the second largest food bank here in L.A. County, will be up and running. Are the hours changed? Is it going to be 8, 9 o'clock? Do you know? I
believe it starts at about 9 o'clock, and it lasts about 1 o'clock. Actually, the cutoff is about 12:30, but they're there till about 1. Because technically nobody's turned away.
That's good. And you don't even have to get out of your car. All you have to do is they'll, you know, unlock your trunk and they'll put the food in there for you. And they've helped thousands and thousands of people that otherwise would have nothing. Okay, if anybody else want to speak, you still have to dial in so all of us can hear you. And that's 858-769-4936 and press 1. Okay, we have about 5 more minutes, Selena, so let's wrap this up because we'll be on the air again the first Monday of next month. That'll be right around Labor Day, huh? So it'll be at the same time, 8 p.m. Pacific time. And we'll have another hot topic for you. This one we've talked about each month because of the situation being at pandemic and knowing that people are looking for information. And hopefully we've been able to provide it. Okay. You have anything else you want to say? Anybody want to
speak?
That is it. Okay. Then we'll be on the air again next month, Monday, the first Monday of the month. All right. We're going to say goodbye.
Good night, all.